We're doing the Navi Yeshaya, and we're up to what's called the 30th chapter. It's a new semester. We'll quickly reintroduce it. The Navi Yeshaya was from the family of King David. He was rebuking the kings Uzziah, Yotam, Ahaz, and Chizkiyahu, and then Chizkiyahu's son, who was also Yeshayahu's grandson, because Yeshayahu's daughter married Chizkiyahu, the king, and together they had a son named Menashe, and that son, who was Yeshayahu's own grandson, murdered his grandfather, Yeshayah. That's how Yeshayahu passed away. So Yeshayahu is prophesizing to the people in the end of the period of the first temple. Yes?
Is Chizkiyahu the one who first didn't want to have a son? Because
correct. And Yeshayahu told him to have children.
Right.
Yes. Yeshayahu is the one that told Chizkiyahu to get married and have children. And that child that Chizkiyahu did not want to have is the one who murdered Yeshayahu. Yeah. Interesting. Right. Okay. So we're up to what's called the 30th chapter. And we'll begin. Hoi, whoa, banim, sorim, neum Hashem. Woe to you children who are sorim. The word sorim means consistently veering off the path. So says Hashem, woe to you. Lasot eitza velo mini. I weep over Israel because they veer off the good path that I've taught them, and their way of life is not the way I have taught them. Velinsoch masecha velo ruchi. And they've taken coverage. The term masecha is like the word sukkah. They are taking coverage in velo ruchi, in one who is not of my spirit. They're taking coverage, as we'll see later in the prophecy, in the protection of the Egyptian empire. And it's not what I've told them to do. They're basically taking the Egyptians over them. Leman sefot chatat al chatat. It's as though what they've sinned isn't enough, so they're looking for more to sin. And that's why they're turning to Egypt, and they're not asking my opinion about it, says Hashem. Ha-holechim la-redet Mitzrayim. They're going down to Egypt. Ufi lo sha'alu. And they don't ask me. We're talking about the final king of the northern 10 tribes. Remember, the kingdoms are divided. And the northern king, Hoshea ben Elah, makes a peace treaty with the Egyptian empire, and that will bring about the ultimate destruction of the northern 10 tribes. They're going down to Egypt, Ufi lo sha'alu. We're up to what's called the 30th chapter, the second pasuk. La'oz b'ma'oz paro, ve'lachsot b'tzel Mitzrayim. They expect to get coverage in the shadow of Egypt, ve'lachsot b'tzel Mitzrayim. La'oz b'ma'oz paro. They expect that the strength of Pharaoh will give them strength. But that's not the way it's going to play itself out. What's called the 30th chapter? You don't have it in that one. That goes up to 29. The third pasuk. Vayalachem ma'oz paro livoshet. Hashem says, the strength of Pharaoh will ultimately be your shame. It won't help you. Ve'chasut b'tzel Mitzrayim lichlima. And the coverage that you took in Egypt will ultimately be your embarrassment. Pasuk Dalet. Ki hayu v'tzohan. You guys with me, yeah? Ki hayu v'tzohan sarav. Because the king sent his nobles to the city of Tzoan. He sent them to as emissaries to the Egyptian king to make this peace treaty. So they've come to the city of Tzoan, and Umalachav Chanes Yagihu, and the messengers came to the capital called Chanes. In English, that would be Yunus, maybe. Yeah. Now here, if you pronounce it like a Sephardi, it's closer. Chanes and Yunus, it's closer. Yeah, yeah. Kol hovish al am lo yo'ilu lamo. Kol hovish. Here you have, whether we write it hivish or hovish, they all embarrass themselves. They're coming to Egypt and begging them, you run our country, you be in charge, let's make a peace treaty with you. Lo le'ezer ve'lo le'ho'il ki lavoshet ve'gam le'cherpa. It won't help. Ultimately, it will be a source of shame to Israel. So the Navi is warning, and he's saying, I know you're not listening, you're not even asking my opinion, but you'll see, it'll only bring embarrassment to you. Here we have a break. According to our tradition, this is a new chapter. The Christians didn't divide it this way, but for us, this is a new section. Masa Bahamot Negev, the following vision of prophecy, was about the animals of the south. The people took their cattle southward to Egypt, and when they went to Egypt, they took all their wealth to bring a bribe to the Egyptian king, and they endangered themselves, because you're traveling in dangerous territory with all your money to bring a bribe to the Egyptian king. You have to go through the desert, and that's the shame. Here you're working so hard to do what? To give up your sovereignty, to give your faith to a king that won't stand by you ultimately. Masa Bamot Negev. The Navi says, I told you it's an embarrassment. Here's what people will say about you. Look at them. They took their cattle to the south. Be'eretz tzara v'tzuka. They went through a land that's so dangerous, that's so depressed. Lavi v'laish mehem. A land that has all kinds of lions. Lavi and laish are two types of lions. Ef'eh v'saraf me'ofef, two different types of snakes. Ef'eh is one type of snake, and saraf me'ofef is like a flying serpent. It's a very quick type of snake. So they're crossing the deserts with all their money to bring a bribe, to try and convince the Egyptian king, please, please take control, you be in charge. Yisu al ketef ayarim cheileyem. They carry on the shoulders of their donkeys all their wealth, cheilehim, their strength, their wealth. Ayar is a small donkey. Ve'al dabeshet gimalim otzerotam. And on the honey of the camels, they carry their wealth. What is the honey of the camels? So camels, between their humps, is where they'd load the camels. And because they'd load the packs between the humps, so they'd get worn down. They'd be bruised between their humps. So the embalmment that they would put on the camels was made of honey. So they gave it that nickname, the between the humps. I don't know what that's called in English. The area between the humps where they'd actually put the loads, they called it dabeshet. Because it was always covered with honey, they'd embalm it so it shouldn't be so bruised. Ve'al dabeshet gimalim otzerotam. And on that section, the honey of the camels, they carry their wealth. Al am lo yo'ilu, for a nation that'll be of no avail, no help. Umitzrayim hevel varik ya'azoru, and the Egyptians, in truth, will give them no help. It'll all be in vain. That they will offer them nothing. They don't have the strength to help them, and they won't even want to help them. When the dangers will come, the Egyptians won't be interested in helping them. Lachen karati lazot rahavim shavet. That's why I say about them, they're just a bunch of arrogant people who are worthless. They are not productive. Rahavim, and this is a term that's quoted throughout the Shas and throughout the Midrashim, as the descriptory term of Egypt. We have different verses that describe each nation. What's their characteristic? So the characteristic of Mitzrayim is Rahavim Shavit. This pasuk is quoted all over. They're number one, Rahav, arrogant, and number two, Shavit, that they are not productive people. They're a nation of imbeciles, a nation of people who are non-productive. That's the description of Egypt. Ata bo chotva al luach itam van sefer chuka. Hashem says, I invite you, the prophet, come and write the things, engrave the things that I'm telling you now. Uthi liyom acharon la'ad ad olam. I want you to have a record of what you're saying now, so that when the troubles befall Israel, they'll know that I forewarned them. When the time comes that this happens, they'll have this prophecy engraved, Hashem tells the Navi. Ki am mirihu banim kechashim, because this nation is rebellious. The people's turning to Pharaoh is part of their rebelliousness. They don't want to ask me for help, and they don't want to ask me what to do. This is a nation of rebellious people. They are banim kechashim. They are sons who deny me, says Hashem. They deny that I'm here. They deny that I'm watching them. Banim lo avu shemoha Torat Adonai. They are sons who are not interested in hearing the Torah of Hashem. Asher ameru laroim lo tiruhu. Because they tell the seers, they tell the prophets who have visions, don't look, don't tell us your visions. Velachozim lo techezulanu nechochot. And those who come to them and tell them, look, Hashem showed us the following, what they tell them is, we're not interested in your rebuke. Don't tell us what Hashem has shown you. Daberu la'anu chalakot. Speak to us, but tell us smooth things. Tell us good things. We want to hear from you good news. We don't want to hear that destruction is imminent. We don't want to hear about the dangers. Chazu mahatalot. What we want you to see frivolity. Tell us that we should be having a good time. Tell us things are going to be fun. Tell us things are going to be good. That's what we want to hear. So the false prophets were making an easy buck because that's what people wanted to hear. The real prophets, well, the people refused to listen to them. There's an interesting Malbim over here. The Malbim says, whenever you have the word Jose, that's a vision of the heart. When a person imagines something, that's a chazon. Chazon is a vision. It's not something you see with your eyes. So the term chazon is usually a godly vision. It's one of the terms of prophecy. Chazon is one of the 10 terms for prophecy. Suru minei derech. They tell the prophet, turn off this path. Hatu minei orach. We want you to veer off the path you're on, they tell the prophet. Hashbitu mipaneinu et kedosh Yisrael. Stop telling us the things you tell us in the names of Hashem, the Holy One of Israel. We're not interested, the people told the prophets. We want the false prophets. Lachen ko amar kedosh Yisrael. Hashem says, lachen. What does the word lachen mean? Oh, so simply translated, lachen means therefore. In Tanakh, lachen is code for a vow. Lachen is a term of making a promise. Hashem says, so I promise. So says Hashem, the Holy One of Israel. Yan ma'oschehem badavar hazeh, being that you're disgusted with what the prophets are telling you in the name of Hashem. Your confidence is in your capacity to bribe others, to act dishonestly. So part of it is, let's bribe the Egyptians. You assume that shmearing will get you everywhere. You know, that's the old Jewish line. So they say, yeah, the prophet told us shmearing won't get you everywhere, but it'll get you there more smoothly. Right? Throughout Jewish history, That was how Jews survived. Right? so it's good to know how to do that too. But it's not the key to life, the Navi says. Vatisha'anu alav, being that you did lean on the Egyptians, lachen yiyeh lachem avon hazeh kiferetz nofel niveh b'choma niskava. This sin, says the Navi, is going to be kiferetz nofel. It's like a breach in the wall that once part of it's broken, so then it's like a domino effect. The rest of the wall starts breaking down. Once there's a breach in the wall, it's like a leak in the house. If you don't fix the leak in the roof, so then the water starts spreading. It doesn't stay in one place. A breach in the wall, so then the water starts getting into the wall, and then your fortification is finished. Niv'eh, it's like bubbles. It's like the waters of the rain are bechoma nisgava, in a fortification that was once very potent, very powerful. Asher pitom lefeita yavo shivra. And suddenly you see the wall's broken. Because if you didn't fix the cracks in the wall and you let the water seep in, so eventually it suddenly just breaks down. Same thing's going to happen. The Egyptian Empire, your assumption that the peace treaties, that's what's going to last, well, that's a breach in the wall. That's the crack that's going to cause the whole wall to come down. Ushvara kishever nevel yotzirim katuhut lo yachmol. What's going to happen? It's going to be like a pottery, an earthenware pitcher. Nevel yotzirim, an earthenware pitcher. Katut, that when it's smashed, lo yachmol, there's nothing left to have pity on. You know, sometimes a vessel breaks, you could still use most of it. But when earthenware smashes, there's nothing left to use. And when the earthenware smashes, so then you won't find within the shards a piece of earthenware. Even a little bit of earthenware to take a coal with. Sometimes you want to pick up a coal. You need something to pick it up with. You don't want to use a plate. So you use a shard. Well, if the earthenware is smashed to smithereens, you can't even pick up. If you want a little bit of water to pick up from a crevice in the earth, if you have a pit of water and you want to take out some water with a shard of earthenware, so even if it's not the best vessel, you could use it. Hashem says, yeah, but when you smash something to smithereens, then you don't have a piece that size. That's the same thing. Hashem says that's how Israel is going to be smashed. And this is the terrible prophecy of the great Holocaust of Jewish history that happened when the northern 10 tribes were exiled, where we lost probably double the amount that happened in the Holocaust 60 years ago. And the Navi is describing that the northern 10 tribes will be smashed so terribly there'll be nothing left. And ultimately that's what happened. We lost them. They're gone. We had 10 million people at least disappear.
How is which sin tried to were left afterwards?
So there were slight representations of each tribe which were able to enter the southern tribes. You had Judea, you had Benjamin, you had within them the tribe of Shimon, and you had the Kohanim and Levim. So you have Levi, Binyamin, Yehuda and Shimon, four tribes that had large representation, and then every other tribe had small numbers that made it to the south. So most of us are from Yehuda. Most of us are from Yehuda, but not everyone. You have people from all the tribes.
And then the 10 tribes that got lost, they got lost physically or spiritually.
Both.
They spread out and they assimilated? Or?
Right. They intermarried. They're gone. Yeah. Okay. So we'll pick up here. B'ezrat Hashem next week.